In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year 325, the first council of the church after the persecutions had ended was held, and the main part of the creed was written. At the second council, in 381, the creed was completed with words about the Holy Spirit that it had been discovered were necessary to say. There are a lot of things that are kept in the heart of the church, and most had hoped that it would not be necessary to speak of this secret thing, the work of the Holy Spirit within us that God sends to us. Those who ask questions that show that the Holy Spirit is not working in them, but that they have a faith that is external, had to be answered. There were words that needed to be said, but those words about the Holy Spirit, it's not as though they make possible the work of the Holy Spirit. That was always there during the first 3 and almost 4 centuries before that second ecumenical council. But at the end of that council, we had the creed that we all say together. We begin by referring to ourselves, but we say it together. Orthodox don't understand it as acceptance, as individuals, of some kind of fundamental principles that are imposed on Christians if they're going to be Christians according to the established organization of the church. There are those who reject the creed, even though they may believe a great deal of it, even though they may even believe all of it, but they believe it individually, themselves personally, where the individual person is first. I believe. You can believe what you want, but I believe. That's not how we say the creed in the Orthodox Church. The only reason we say I is we recognize and acknowledge that all of us have to act spiritually for ourselves, but we all move in the same direction. We all have the same destiny given to us by God. We don't pray to God to reveal to us some kind of unique, individual, special, and particular destiny that is different from everyone else's destiny. We all have the same destiny, and that is to be like Christ, God. That's our destiny and our calling. And too often we turn aside from that calling and seek some other direction that has to do with ourselves alone. And so when Orthodox say the creed, we acknowledge the fact that each one of us is an individual, but we are not isolated. We are moving from our isolation as ourselves in particular. I am a particular person, so is everyone else who has ever existed, only themselves. But we all have a common destiny as human beings, and each one of us says, I believe, and enters into the oneness and the communion of the life that we share with Jesus Christ, with all of the saints, and with all of those who are coming together into that communion. That is the creed. And fortunately for us, it doesn't just include the members of our parish. It doesn't just include all of the members of all of the Orthodox parishes in the world today. It also includes all of the saints. Each one of them is a particular and special and unique individual, and each one of them says along with us, I believe, and that belief is a movement into oneness. It's not an affirmation of some kind of reason-based set of convictions or fundamental principles. It is the faith of our heart and our soul. This is what is in our heart. I believe one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us by God in order to transform us and to make us like Him and it is possible for us to cooperate in that transformation. All of that is understood in the Creed. Last week, I wasn't here. I was on vacation. It was a kind of a working vacation, I have to admit. The diocesan assembly is coming up. I have to be a speaker. I have to prepare. I have to prepare for a trip to the Holy Mountain, Mount Athos. People ask me, are you excited? Are you looking forward to it? Well, there are a lot of things that I am about it, but it's not a vacation. It's kind of like the Last Judgment, more than anything else I can think of. And I'm kind of not looking forward to that. And I know I'm not ready. I may never encounter men like these in the rest of my life. Some people are worried about whether or not we're going to be able to communicate freely with them. Well, I'm not. I'm not going to learn Greek in the next couple of weeks, or Russian, or Bulgarian, or Romanian, or any of the other languages represented on the Holy Mountain. And I'm not going to be a tourist, as though I were in Paris and looking for someone who speaks English so that we can converse. I mean, everybody ought to speak English, and as a matter of fact, a lot of people do, so we'll find one of those. The presence of these men is what we are going to experience, to worship along with men who have devoted their lives to the knowledge and experience of God. Now, sometimes people get confused, people who aren't Orthodox at least, and they think maybe Orthodox believe that that's what you need to do in order to be saved. Well, there is a difference between salvation and the knowledge of God. They are closely related, but it's not true that we all have to experience the uncreated light and have knowledge of God face to face because we have so humbled ourselves and cut off our self-will and have abandoned the passions and desires of the flesh and the mind. You know, the passions of the mind, you know, are worse than the passions of the flesh. Those are the ones we believe in and don't even realize that that's what we believe in. Monasticism has to do with coming to know God face to face. It goes beyond the fact that God has come into the world in order to save us. It goes beyond it in the sense that monasticism is about the revelation to us of the fact that it is possible to be holy, perfect in the perfection of Christ, not in the perfection of any one of these holy men or women, but perfect in his perfection. It is possible to realize that in this world, in this life, to participate in it. And it has the demand before it of an experience of worship that is so much more intense and yet different in ways that don't make any sense to us in the world. Those men and women who are monastics, they too say along with us the Creed, I believe. And with them you can see that belief is not some kind of an intellectual idea. It's not some kind of a choice of this religious philosophy or this church rather than that church. Well, I believe this and you believe that. No. Belief in God that leads to the knowledge of God and the casting off of all of our passions and desires, the desire to fulfill our ego and make a good showing before others, all of those things that we generally talk about, those are gone. It is possible to put an end to them and to know God face to face. And their struggle is in that direction intensively. And so, during the vacation, I didn't collect any shells. I did collect one secondhand shell. At the nice house that we rented, there was a pile of shells that some previous renters had dumped off before they left. And right on the top was a beautiful conch shell, and I brought that one back. So I did collect that one shell. But I can bring you some shells from the reading that I did. I did reading in that large book, St. Silouan of Mount Athos. Didn't finish it, only got halfway through, because I was reading another book about the elder Paisios, I didn't finish that one either. I only got halfway through that one too. But I learned a lot of things. A lot of things. Things that are of great help to me in my preparation for these two events that are coming up. That I have to be ready for. It's not the kind of thing you can prepare for at the last minute. About Alder Paisios, the shell that I can give you from him. There was a whole chapter in the book on Elder Paisios called The Aroma of Reverence. And Elder Paisios distinguishes between reverence and piety. And here is a key that's going to be very helpful to me in Dallas. One of the things that I'll talk about is Father Alexander Schmemann's famous criticisms of monasticism of a certain kind. But here is the key to resolve that supposed conflict. Elder Paisios' distinction between reverence and piety. Piety is something that comes from our mind and is mostly for us. It looks like reverence, but it's not. The Elder Paisios says it is like perfume. What do we use perfume for? Underarm deodorant, that sort of thing. There's something that needs to be covered up. Monks are very direct. They're not too subtle. But reverence, he says, is like incense. It burns from the heart with the love of God that consumes the passions, the desires. It is an offering to God. We offer God reverence. We can't offer him piety because it's not about God. It's about us. From St. Silouan, there are two things in particular. Those who do not love their enemies do not love God. Those who don't love their enemies don't love God. Sometimes we come to confession and we have something that someone has done against us. That means they've made themselves an enemy to us. They've made themselves an enemy to our ego. They've forestalled us in some way. The Elder Paisios and St. Silouan loved enemies because enemies did them more good than anybody else. There's a whole prayer about that. You probably remember it. Now, these are shells, so they're not related to each other. That's my little trick today, you see. I don't have to pull it all together. I just bring you these shells. That's the way it is when you offer someone shells. Isn't this one pretty? Look at this one. That's even better. Here's the best one. Also from St. Theophan of Mount Athos. When we remember St. Thomas, the doubter, we hear Christ say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." It's really interesting how St. Theophan understands that. Monks' lives, monastics, nuns and monks, are devoted to coming to know God. And some of them know God. The others know each other. Men and women whose lives are devoted to coming to know God. Actually and really because it is possible. Orthodox say it is possible. Other Christians say it isn't. But we say it is. So their lives are about coming to know God. Coming to know him as Thomas knew him. Firsthand. I won't believe unless I touch him. Now, it's not that monks don't believe. They do believe. But their desire is to see God. To know him face to face. To know him within themselves. To be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The way the apostles were on Pentecost. And they do all of the things that they do as monastics for that goal. But how about the rest of us? We're not living like that. And that's where they gently apply in a unique kind of way what Jesus said to St. Thomas. Because the monks are the ones who have touched Christ. They're the ones who have seen him. They're the ones who have been hidden his presence. And they're the ones who have a wisdom that comes of knowing him that is no end of amazement to me. Those are my favorite things to read from Elder Paisios and St. Theophan. The things that they know and understand because they have known God. That's theology, remember? Not all of us live their lives. But to us, St. Theophan offers this consolation. Even though you have not seen God, even though you have not touched Him or experienced Him, even though you don't understand things from the mind of Christ, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's how he applies those words of Christ. It is so gentle. It is so kind to all of the rest of us who do so little in the spiritual life. Blessed are those who have not known but yet believe. But the belief has to be real, genuine. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to set up a constant conflict between how we are and how we really are in Christ. That's belief. It's got to be a movement from saying I into believing in Christ. It's already a movement toward the knowledge of Christ. Those are a few of the shells that I gathered at the beach. It's good to be back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.